Whoever you are, hi. Well, thanks for coming, and thanks for allowing me to come. I stand in this very spot every summer, every day into the summer, and we do day camp for a much noisier crowd. And they don't have duck donuts, but anyway, I'm glad to be here. I need to do a survey. How many of you either don't have a baby yet, or you have one in the oven? Good. Okay. How many of you have a... Did we just have an announcement? Oh. Should I say something? I know, what was that?
She just said she's having a baby.
But, all right, I'll move on. Oh, wait a minute. They gave me 25 minutes, and I promised to start my stopwatch, so it starts right. Wait a minute. Start. Okay, it starts now. All right, how many of you have a child age 1 or 2? Age 3, 4, 5? First through third grade, fourth through sixth grade, middle school, high school, college. You have no idea where they are? Anyway, okay, well, good. Now, I want to begin with bad news and good news. I was asked to speak on how to develop character in your kids. The bad news is, you can't. Pause. What did he just say? The good news is that God can, and he will use you to facilitate that. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I probably will say things different from what you expected, but what I'm going to say is truth. It's not just preacher talk, so I want you to take me seriously at what I say. Now, what is character? Normally, when we think of character, we think of a child acting in a certain way. He's polite. He says, please and thank you, or she helps you with little chores as she can. When he gets older and someone hurts them, they forgive them. They have plans on Saturday to do fun stuff, but grandma needs help around the house, so he's willing to give up his Saturday to go help grandma. Things like this. This looks like character. So you think, well, we could codify this. We could say, well, this, then do always do this, always do that, and always do this, but don't do that, don't do that. The problem is that won't work, and I want to show you why. I want to take you back 3,500 years. We weren't there yet, but the Jews were slaves in Egypt. You remember this. Pharaoh was treating them like scum. They did what you should teach your children to do when they're in trouble, and that's cry out to God, and God heard their cry. He sent Moses. Moses led them out through a long process. They crossed the Red Sea. 3 months later, the Bible says 3 full moons later, which is 3 months, they ended up at what was called the Mountain of the Lord, later called Mount Sinai, today called Jebel Messa. That's what they call it now. And Moses said, I'm going to go up and meet with God, and he will show us how to live. And you know what he came down with. First, he came down with the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And later, he came down with 613 rules that became the law. You read about them in the book of Numbers. I mean, what to do if this happens? What to do if that happens? Don't ever do this. 613 rules made the law. And in Exodus 19, Moses told the people this, and hear their words. The Jews said, all that the Lord has said, that we will do. That means, God, you tell us what to do, and we'll do it. And my guess is they meant it. And the rest of the Bible, you'll see that they broke every one of them. And God forgave them, and they broke them again. And God forgave them, and they got in trouble again. It went over and over and over and over again. So it looks like God's plan was a flop. Except God knew what was going to happen. And it's not to the book of Galatians, Paul explains what the plan was behind the law. Paul says, the law was a school teacher, a tutor, some translators say. The Old King James, a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. God was teaching us that we could not do this on our own. We needed Jesus. Therefore, giving your child a bunch of rules is not going to be very helpful because your child will break them. The first time you tell your child to do something and he says no, you'll go, where did that come from? I'll tell you, it was factory installed equipment. Your child has a sinful nature. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it very strongly. Unless you acknowledge the fact that your child has a sinful nature, you can't parent your child right. It's like putting your child in the back seat without the child seat without safety belt later, thinking, well, we've never had an accident before, everything's fine. You would never do that. But that's what you do when you live your life with your child, forgetting that your child has a sinful nature. I want to tell you a story. I have had the almost identical thing happen to me 3 times in 3 different cities where I live. It was amazing. This one happened where my son is now children's pastor in Birmingham, Alabama. We were running a camp just like we have here, and that church had the Christian school, so we got a lot of kids from the school. Well, I would hire people to work at camp. Some of your kids have worked for me. Well, there was a boy who was 15 who would be 16 because we don't pay kids till they're 16. He would be 16 by camp, and he was going to come by for his interview. Well, his mom, he had a sister in the Christian school, and his mom had stopped by earlier to pick her up or bring her something, I forget what. And I saw her, and I said, oh, your son's coming by to talk about being on our activity staff this evening. I said, how's he doing? And she said, well, he's had some struggles, but I think he's doing okay now. I said, oh, good. Well, I don't know what that meant. So the boy comes. Now, when you come for your first job, you're scared to death. Even though he knew me really well, I'd been his children's pastor. He comes into my office, first job, and I say, very naively, I said, well, I saw your mom today, and I asked her how you've been doing. What do you think she said? And he went, oh. And he says, well, there was a friend of his at the Christian school. He said, well, I was at his house after school, and there's nobody was there, and his grandfather lives with him, and he has beer in the refrigerator. And he says, hey, you want to take one of Grandpa? Have you ever drunk a beer? I said, no, I never drunk a beer. He said, you want to drink one? And so he got 2 beers in the refrigerator, and we all both drank one. I said, how was it? He said, nasty. I said, yeah, that's what I hear. I don't know. Well, then his grandfather comes home, and his grandfather knew how many beers were in the refrigerator. And he did a little, who in the family drank his, and it finally it came down to this boy, and there were 2 missing, and his mother said, you drank 2 of your, he says, well, no, and I gave one to this boy's name. So, of course, that mother called this kid's mother, said, your son was here and did with my son, they drank a beer. So, anyway, the kid tells me all this, and then I say, no, she didn't tell me that, and he goes, so he's bared his soul in front of a pastor he wants to get a job for in a Christian camp. Feels like a complete idiot, so he's got to salvage it. And he says, well, at least I learned my lesson. I said, really, what was that? And he says, well, I shouldn't do that. And I said, didn't you already know you shouldn't do that? And he said, well, yeah. I said, okay, well, what lesson did you learn? He went, well, I shouldn't do it again. I said, well, that's the same thing. What lesson do you learn? And he said, he can't think of a thing. I said, can I tell you what you learned? Again, I've had the same conversation with 3 different kids over the years. I said, you learned the reason you did that is because you're bad. He said, but I only did it once. I said, yeah, but the reason you did that once is because you're bad. He said, but I'm not going to do it again. I said, I know. If you did, your mother would kill you. If not, that kid's grandfather would kill you. But the reason you did that was because you're bad. And then he said, and I knew this was coming. Well, not that time. Other times I've known this was coming. He said, you mean you're saying I'm a bad person just because I drank 1 beer? I said, no, I didn't say that. He said, oh. Then he said, well, what did you say? I said, I didn't say you're bad because you drank that beer. I said, you drank that beer because you're bad. You see, you do what you do because you are what you are. And because you have a bad part of you, the Bible calls it a sinful nature. But in kids speak, because you're bad, you drank that beer. And then, not with that kid, because it hadn't happened yet, but later with another kid having the same kind of conversation, at that point I said, do you know who Lance Armstrong is? Well, yeah, he's that biker. What did he do? Well, he won the Tour de France a whole bunch of times. What else do you know about it? Well, they found out he was taking drugs to improve his speed. I said, what else do you know? He said, well, he lied about it. I said, do you know why he lied? He said, we didn't want to get caught. I said, well, yeah, I'm sure he didn't want to get caught, but that's not why he lied. He said, well, why did he lie? I said, well, he lied because he's a liar. You do what you do because you are what you are. And in this case, it was something else he had done, but he did that because you're bad. Now look, you've got to remember this about your children. You bring home this sweet child and it looks like a little rosebud. Don't be offended. But there's part of your child that's a weed. You got to remember that your child has a sinful nature. That you, if you're not aware of it, you cannot protect your child any more than you can protect your child putting your child in the back seat without putting your child in the child protection seat. If you remember that, you're in good shape. So that's the first thing you've got to do. Secondly, that's why giving your child a bunch of rules won't do it. That's not enough. Well, what does my child need? You say, my child needs to be religious? No. Let me explain why. The 19 guys, plus the one who missed the plane, who flew their planes into the World Trade Center, the Pentagon right down the street, and that field in Pennsylvania, did so in the name of religion. You know Westboro Baptist Church, that church that has protested soldiers' funerals? They even protested here. We never were figured out what they were protesting, but they showed up one day, and it was really a most pathetic protest you've ever seen. It was wimpy, but they were here right in front of the church. Do you know why they do these awful things to show up at soldiers' funerals and protest? In the name of their religion. They're Baptist. This is the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther. 100 years before that, there was a guy named John Huss, who lived in Prague, Czechoslovakia, who saw things in his church. He loved his church, but he saw things he knew they were wrong, and he spoke out against them, and he was called a heretic. And they took him to the Council of Constance and had a trial. And you know what they did on July 6, 1415? They burned him at the stake. And do you know why? They did it in the name of their religion. In the Beatles song, have you like Beatles songs, any of them? It's okay. And they were in church, but they didn't have it. Okay. There's one of the Beatles songs called Imagine. It's like, try to imagine a perfect world. And one of the things they should try to imagine is no religion. And at first you hear, that's awful. But no, it's not awful. Because religion alone is awful. Now hear me out. Please listen. Your child doesn't need religion. Your child needs a vibrant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And your job as a parent is to help your child develop that and allow your church to help you. Be an active part of your church. I grieve when someone, when I meet families, even in our church here, that they come to church unless something else is planned. You don't go to church, you're part of it. Train your child. Have family devotions. I remember visiting a family, and this was before I was married. I just went to be children's pastor in Lynchburg. And this family, I was a single guy. They felt sorry for me, invited me for Sunday dinner. And their two kids brought me a calendar. One of them was a little boy named Robbie. And he brought me a calendar, and there were scripture references. And that was the references he read from the Bible every day. I was so impressed. That boy is now growing. He's older than you are. He's a doctor. And he's a godly man. He was a godly man because his parents taught him to be a godly kid. So hear me out. If you want your child to develop character, it starts with teaching your child to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In the book of Galatians, you remember the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, meekness, kindness, self-control, and what I left out. Does that sound like character? Yes, it does. But do you know what it is? Those aren't commands. They are called the fruit or the result of the Holy Spirit. When your child grows and the Holy Spirit has, your child is submitted to the Holy Spirit, these things are developed in your child's life. And you can't legislate that. I was talking to a guy this week. I'll tell you who it was. Some of you may know Mitchell Downing. The family, Sandy and the family, Ryan, go to church here. They have four kids. And Mitchell just graduated from JMU, James Madison University. He's now my assistant camp director. I'm training him to take over one day. Well, here's what he told me. When he went to college, JMU, the first weekend he was there, he said all these kids who had freedom for the first time went out and got drunk, had sex, bought drugs. And he thought, I don't want to do that. So he looked for Christians and he found Inner Varsity and he became a leader. They mentored him, he mentored others. Part of what you're doing in training your child is to prepare them for their first Friday night away from home and college, because that's when you find out what they've done. And they won't tell you what they've done, but you should know because you've already prepared them. So your first secret to teaching character to your children is to help them develop a vibrant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Teach your kids to read God's word on their own. We have children's Bibles. You can see Kelly Dudley, our children's director, and me. And we can sell them to you. If you're broke, we'll give you one. International Children's Bible. Puts the Bible, a translation, so they can read it. Have your kids memorize scripture. Have family devotions with your children. Don't just teach them Bible stories. You know, there are no heroes in the Bible but one. His name is Jesus Christ. Almost everybody else is flawed. The Bible is a story about God. I teach kids you can learn the Bible in 9 words. God made it, we broke it, Jesus fixes it. That's it. Yeah, you can say it in other ways, but do that. Now, you say, my child is 1 year old. What do I do now? And that's why I gave you this chart. If you will pull out this chart, please. This is a chart of character traits, sometimes called character quality. And a lot of people have worked on this. This is my version. I've added some and redefined some that I thought were better. And what you're going to do is don't expect you're going to tell the kids this and they're going to go do them. Remember, your child has a sinful nature. Telling them once, that doesn't automatically do anything. I've heard parents say, I spanked my kid and I said, I'll teach you to remember not to lie to me. And I'm thinking, do you actually think he lied because he forgot? That's not the issue. Most parents deal with sin in their children's lives the wrong way. Say your child was learning to ride a bike. You know what he would do? He'd fall off a lot. And you wouldn't fuss at him. You pick him up, you okay, you show him what to do, and you keep him going again. Most kids, when they start playing baseball, they strike out a lot. So you don't fuss at them, just show them how to hold the bat, whatever. That's how you teach your children. Let's look at these. Now remember, just like in a spreadsheet, okay? Columns go up and down, and rows go left and right. Top column, top row, obedience, is doing exactly what I'm told immediately with a happy heart. Now listen. If you give your child an instruction or tell them to do something and they don't do it and you say nothing, you're teaching your child to ignore you. So you don't do that. But you don't fuss at them. Here's what I would do. Say, you're talking to your child now, little Winthrop. Don't think we have a Winthrop. Say, I'm going to tell you how grown-ups live. I'm going to tell you how big people live. And that is, when somebody tells you what to do, they're supposed to, you do it. You do it right away. And you practice that. You practice that. If your child's in the living room playing with them, you say dinner time, and they keep playing, you sit them down and say, uh-oh, you did something. You didn't do it right. What'd you do? You didn't come right away. That's right. You want to come right away and be happy about it, not fuss. Your child's older. They're playing video games. Come on to dinner. They don't come. You didn't come. Well, I had one more man. I don't care. You have one more life? Well, you're not going to have that one unless you... Come on in. You teach... And you don't fuss at your child. You expect your child is a sinner. So you understand this. But you gently teach your child, this is what obedience is. And tell them the complete thing. Obedience is doing exactly what you're told immediately with a happy heart. Now, I need to tell you something. Sometimes I have listed these traits in a straight line this way, and I've given it to parents, and I've said this. If their children were older than most of yours, I'd say, I want you to rate your child from 1 to 10 on each of those. Oh, and I say, but before you do that, please rate yourself from 1 to 10 on each of those. Now, if on obedience you're a 4, your child's not going to be a 6. Understand this. You're going to reproduce what you are. So this is not just to hit your child over the head with the chart. The purpose of this is to live this yourself. If you're teaching your child obedience and you drive 35 in a 25-mile zone, good luck. All right. So look at the next one. Alertness is knowing what's going on around me. And teach your child. This will protect your child from danger. Say, look, when you go into a room, the first thing you do is see who's there and see who you ought to go talk to. Say hi to people. It's amazing. When we have visitors in kids' church, I tell a kid, hey, here's a new kid. make them feel welcome. And some of them had no idea what to do. They just go back and play their Kindle until we get started. And some kids go, oh, hi, what's your name? You want to teach your child to do that, okay? Wisdom. The best definition I've come up with wisdom is seeing life the way God sees it. Seeing life from his perspective. What looks like it could be better. You know, like Joseph. Remember when his brother sold him into slavery and finally years later, he gets them all together. And you know what he says? He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph had wisdom. Amazing. Look at the second row that next to the last column. Initiative. Doing what needs to be done before you're told to do it. I hire a lot of people at camp. And there's different levels. There's the kid that if I give you a list of things to do, you'll do it. That's entry level. You know who's very valuable? It's a person who sees a job and does it whether they're told to do it or not. If you teach your child that, and if the Holy Spirit so changes your child, it becomes a part of his or her life, your child can get a job anywhere. I've told kids this. I got it. I've said, look, you can, with your character, you can get a job anywhere you want to because that's the kind of person you are. I want you to look at these and I want you to study them and I want you to think of how it affects your life. One of the questions that I gave you is, what in your life would keep your child from developing this quality? And next, I want you to think how you can teach your child this, but don't fuss at them if they don't do it. Just keep instructing. In other words, when your child messes up, treat your child the way God treats you when you mess up. God never hits you over the head with anything, okay? And there's so many I could go through, but I want to go to the most important one. That's the bottom one on the right. Integrity. Integrity, I define it as living by the principles I claim to believe. Let me give you a practical definition. Everybody look up here for a second. You are three people. You're the person that you think you are. You're the person that everybody else thinks you are. And you're the person that you really are. And a person of integrity, all three of these are the same. And if your child sees you, not just act appropriately for a different situation, but sees you be a different person there than you are at home, you're teaching your child duplicity, or the Greek word for an actor, hypocrites, which is hypocrite. You want to show your child what it looks like to live a life of integrity. So hear me out. If God has given you a child, God is telling you, you are quite suitable to parent that child well. You are. But you don't have to do it by yourself. Take advantage of your church. Let your church help you. Read God's word. Fill your mind with God's word. For your children, I would say this. If you have an unborn baby, start reading scripture when the child is in your room. You say, can they hear in there? Yes. It's saying, boom, 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 chocolate, boom, boom, boom. Yep. But you say they can't understand it, but they can feel your spirit. See, the Holy Spirit can, you know what they said about John the Baptist? He was mighty in spirit before he was born. When your children are little, read them scriptures. Teach them to read scriptures. Build your life around God's word, not just to become bibliolaters, but to get to know God better. Be active in your child's life. And use this as a tool. And ask for help if you need it. Sometimes you may have a strong will child. God does that just on occasions, just to see if you're paying attention. Sometimes you may have a child with special needs, like we have a son, Tim, that some of you know, who had a prenatal stroke. And that happened to figure out what to do with that. But now he loves telling people about Christ. He works around church. He has a servant's heart. If you ever needed somebody to help you with something, you ask him and he'll be there. So you can do this and use this as a tool. But let's review what we've said. Number one, remember that your child has a sinful nature. Just giving your child rules and regulations, that's not sufficient. That's not enough. Instead, you're going to help your child develop a vibrant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And in the interim, you're going to use these character traits to teach them to your child what it looks like. And when they don't do it, say, hey, that's okay. Let me show you how to do it this time. And then you demonstrate it in your home. And as they get older, You can tell that. And even when your child is 1, 2 year old, you begin to do this. Because, and you don't nag them with it, you're just showing them how to grow up. And you can put it that way. Every kid wants to grow up. Even if they're little, they'll soon catch on to that's really cool. And then so you gently teach your child. But remember, your child is never going to be perfect till he gets to heaven. She raised you in my life verse, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So you fill your kids' minds with truth, and God will bless them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for caring about us. Thank you for Kendra, Lord, and all the hard work that goes into this. Lord, thank you for these ladies. I pray that you'll give them wisdom, that you'll give them strength. Help them to be bold, and when they get tired, I pray that you'll give them rest. As they face struggles at home, be with them. As they face problems they have no idea what to do with, help them to be strong enough to ask wisdom from the right places. Thank you that you've given us everything we need to train our children. Help us do it well in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. And here's Beth, whose son has a birthday?
Yesterday.
How old did Joe turn?
Joe turned 17. It was very sweet. Caitlin, my youngest, who has chronic pain and had a really, really terrible week. We're trying to switch medications for her, so please pray. It's going to be about a month of not fun. But anyway, she wanted to make sure that she celebrated Joe really well because he's been a wonderful, wonderful brother to her. And so she got 17 gifts for his 17 years. Which is really tricky because the kid doesn't really care about anything. He really doesn't. So I'm like, okay, we have to find seven. Are you sure 17, Caitlin?